The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
This morning I'm talking about yielded hands. Amen. Yielded hands. Remember, this is a very important weekend for us. We've been talking about the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we can be effective doing it. One of the things you must realize, I will say it within this weekend, is that everybody is a minister. Ministry is not particular with any set of persons. Although, all of us, we do it at different capacities, okay? Some persons will stand as pastors. Some will stand in full-time ministry. We'll do it in different capacities. But then we are all ministers. Glory to God. You must begin to see yourself like that. You see, the idea or the thought that some persons are ministers while some people are supposed to be normal Christians is not even a correct statement. As a matter of fact, a normal Christian is a minister. That's what it means to be a normal Christian. That's what it means to be a normal Christian. People say, I want to be a normal Christian. You want to be a normal Christian? I tell you what to do. Be committed to church. Be praying. Be studying your Bible. Be going for evangelism. Win souls. That's how to be a normal Christian. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5. I've been quoting this since we started. And verse 17, it said, whosoever is in Christ. The Bible said it's a new creature. He said, all things have passed away. He said, behold, all things have become new. In verse 18, he said, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself and has done what? Committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. So like I said, in the same verse where we are told that God reconciled us to himself, that is the same verse that we are also told that we have a ministry of reconciliation. And so you cannot claim to have reconciliation in Christ and deny the fact that you have a ministry of reconciliation. Did you get what I said? You cannot say, I just have a ministry, I'm reconciled unto God, without acknowledging the fact that that reconciliation came with a ministry. It came with an assignment. It came with a responsibility. So when God reconciled us to himself, when we were reconciled to Christ, we were given a ministry alongside that reconciliation. What does that mean? God did not just reconcile you to himself and then say, well, that's all there is to it. He also committed a tax to you. So I said on Friday that part of our new creation realities is ministry. Ministry is part of this we received in Christ. Now I keep saying this to people. Actually, what people call receiving the call to ministry sometimes is a misinterpretation. When people say, well, God called me, let me say this to you. Most times what happens is that people grow into the call of God. They grow to realize it. We saw this, the call, the assignment is older than you. Remember I said that? Jeremiah was told, he said, before I conceived your mother's womb, he said, I already ordained you like this. So the day Jeremiah would say, I received the call of God, was actually the day he became aware of the call of God. Do you get what I'm saying? It wasn't that day he received it, it was that day he became aware of the call. So what happens when people say, I received the call of God, is they come into the consciousness of the call. Because even before you were born, God already ordained a ministry for you in Christ Jesus. That could be anything. But you must begin to see yourself that you are a minister of the new covenant. Amen. Say, God has called me. I'm a minister. There is a call of God upon my life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, and that's you settle your head. So this is what I'm talking about. Yielded hands. Let me tell you what ministry simply is, or how to be a very good minister. A good minister of our Lord Jesus Christ is that person who wants to do whatever God wants done when God wants it done. That's one of the simplest ways to serve the Lord. Ready to do what God wants you to do, when he wants you to do it, and how he wants you to do it. Ready to do what God wants you to do, when he wants you to do it, how he wants you to do it. That's a good minister of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that person that will ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's the question. What exactly do you want us to do? So it's not a heart that is selective with responsibility. I get the point. It's a heart that wants to do whatever. So God, what do you want now? You want us to jump now? Okay, let's jump. It's that heart that will say to the Lord, if you want, or if all you want of me is to come here and clean the seats, I'll do it. You want me to always be here every Friday for evangelism? I'll do it. Father, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. And that's what I mean by having a yielded hands. Let me say this thing to you. Second Timothy chapter 2. Ministry, I've been saying this since Friday. Let me repeat again. Ministry is military. Remember I said that? Ministry is what? Military. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Verse 3. You see, thou therefore endure hardness as what? A good soldier. So it tells you that the believer in Christ is a soldier. So who is this? What does a soldier do? The fact that a soldier does not select responsibility. A soldier is that person that once you tell him, move now, he moves. And that's how to be a minister. It's a military mindset. It's not a mindset that says things like, well, what I want to do is this. Or I'm not in the mood for this. If you're doing that, you're not ready to be a believer. A Christian, a minister of our Lord Jesus Christ, wants to do what God wants done, how God wants it done, when God wants it done. What I'm talking about, his hands are always yielded. It's that man that says to the Lord, my hands, my feet, they are yours to command. I get that point. Whatever you want to do with them, it's okay. An effective minister of our Lord Jesus Christ must think this way. God, what do you want me to do? My hands are yielded unto you. So the kingdom of God is an army. Church of God is an army. Believers are soldiers. That's not just a cliche, that's the truth. Are you getting the point? Believers are soldiers. We are soldiers. And we must think like one. So you must be military in taking responsibility. Whatever the leader wants done. And I've kept saying this to people. Ministry, you know, I said this, we had the retreat some time ago, and I kept saying this. Ministry will never be on your terms. It will forever be on God's terms. You can never want to serve the Lord and you want to do what you want to do. If you do what you want to do, you're not serving the Lord, you're serving yourself. You're serving your desires. Are you getting me this morning? You're serving your appetite. You're serving what you want. You're just doing what you want. Because when somebody says, I'm a servant, what it means is, I'm ready to do anything you want me to do. I'm at your service. Are you getting the point? So if all you want me to do today is to mop this place, I'm here. If you want me to step out of evangelism, I'm here. Soldiers are not selective with responsibilities. They're not. If what it demands now is to go sleep in the bush, they go do that. They're not selective with responsibilities. They do what God wants done, how God wants it done. Glory to God. Say, I'm in the army of God. Let me hear you again. I'm in the army of God. Praise God. I'm in the army of God. So you find out that God wants us to live for Him. And we must live for God on His terms, not on our terms. I get the point. So how do you be an effective minister? Simply tell the Lord, you see these hands, you see these feet, they are available to do whatever you want them to do. My hands are yielded to you. I get the point. I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. You want me to start jumping up every day? That's what I'm going to do. Now when I came into the ministry, I didn't know I was going to be a pastor. But I knew I wanted to do whatever God wanted me to do. I used to share with you guys, some people here know what I'm saying. We find ourselves, there was time I was in church, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, to Sunday, every blessed day. And I wasn't looking for anything, I just wanted to do what God wanted me to do. I get the point. Then I belong to like 3 fellowships. It's not the best anyway, amen? Yeah, it's not the best, because sometimes it reduces effectiveness. But don't bother about me, I was very effective. You know when I got saved? Before I got saved, I used to be a football player. Not like I can play. Yeah, but I was playing. I used to belong to a football team. Praise God. And it was a very wicked football team because we train every day. But we formed the team. I think that's the start of the story. It was young stars. Wanted to be Lionel Messi. And some of us did not end up as Lingard. Praise God. So, we wanted to play ball. Praise God. But then, when I got saved, I reasoned that there is no way. And of course, football is not a sin, is it? I watch football, you know, right? If by now you don't know your pastor is a football fan, I don't know what else you know. Praise God. I watch football. Praise God. I love football. I love stroking some clubs. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, it's a thing of joy sometimes. So just, you see, when you are finding a football club, either you are finding a team that is highly placed, or you find a team nobody knows. So we are yabbing them. But then I realized that when I got saved, and secondly, I used to be very good with PlayStation. Praise God. And then I always go, you know Game House, right? This is good Game House to play. Now, these things are not bad in themselves. But I'm trying to show you something. When I got saved, I realized there was no way I was going to be training every day as a footballer, playing PlayStation every day, and still read my books and pass, and then commit to ministry. And it was not possible. So what did I do? I quit the football club. And I quit playing game. Praise God. Now, my point is, the important thing was, I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. And I knew what he wanted then was for me to be effective, to be available, to be committed. So the two most important things in my life, I stopped doing them. He didn't know how much I played game. I played game so much that I was in the game house every day from school. You branch there. To be an unbeliever is expensive. I get the point. It's very expensive. To live tirelessly is expensive. You can't afford it. Praise God. Every day, come back from school, stay there. I get home around 6, around 7. We did lesson. Did you ever do lesson? Did you ever sneak out from school? And they say, where did you go to? So we had lesson. If you are like that, stop it, amen. But that was it then. But when ministry came along, I knew. I had my Bible to study. I had Christian books to read. I had friends that I met after I got saved that have taken off long ago. I had books to read. I had prayers to pray. I had stuff to do. And I knew there was no way I was going to be playing football and playing game and living just like every other person and still be effective. So I knew what this way the man is living those things. That's how a minister thinks. That's how a believer thinks. Doing whatever God wants you to do at any time. I think you get the point. And I was effective. So I was saying, because I quit football and all that, that's why I was in church every day. I was affected. Every day, I belong to three fellowships. In school, I was a fellowship. At the time, prayer secretary. Then finally, president. I was in school, SU fellowship. Praise God. Some of my members are even here now. Yeah, you heard them. They're here. Then, secondary school. Praise God. But then, at home too, I belong to different things. I was the prayer secretary of the church, prayer secretary of the fellowship. I belong to the fellowship. I belong to another fellowship. Every day. I said Monday to Monday, I was in church. I didn't get the point. Now, that's how I grew up. And that's how I know to serve God. Although now, you know, when you start growing, responsibilities start coming. But that's how I know to serve God. It is that hand that is available to do whatever God wants to do at any time He wants it, how He wants it, when He wants it, immediately. In the military, you are told to obey the last command. Whatever God says, you do it. That's a military man. That's who the minister is. That's who the minister is. And so you must be available, ready and available to do whatever God wants to do, anywhere He wants it, and anytime God wants it. I say this to you, for instance, if you want to serve the Lord, this is for some people, and all you want to do in your life is be able to carry mic and preach, you're not ready to serve the Lord, you are serving your ego. I get to the point. If all you think of doing is to carry mic and preach, you're serving your ego. I didn't grow up preaching. Hallelujah. We've been on the streets 2 a.m. in the night, pasting posters. But if I Christians today, I will not ever want to try that. You know, let me say this to you. The ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ is not convenience. Did you get the point? It's not about doing what you want to do when you want to do it. 2 a.m., pasting posters on the street. It was normal. It's still normal to today. I don't get the point. If the only thing you want to do, ministry is doing what God wants you to do. When He wants you to do it. How He wants you to do it. If He says He's starting to paste posters, fine. Some people, all they want to do is to preach. Sometimes when people come to me and say, sir, I have a vision to host a crusade. I say, why? I want that place saved. People are perishing there. I say, fine, take it to your pastor. Let him host the crusade. So that your pastor will preach in the crusade. And then they get angry. And if you know, I want to host it myself. Do you really want men saved? Or you want to appear in poster like this? You know that pose? There's another one like this. I don't know why I didn't do those things. As someone just said. Oh God. No, don't worry, relax. No. Everybody will appear in poster, either in life or in death. If you don't appear in poster in life, you will appear in an obituary. So you'll be somewhere. Just relax. Don't apply your boy, man. Praise God. Well, so you serve the Lord. You don't serve your ego. I get the point. Your hands must be ready to do whatever God wants you to do. Now, I'm not saying God cannot lead you to host a meeting yourself. Amen. I'm only saying that you must, I was saying it yesterday afternoon, you must investigate your intentions. You must investigate your heart. You must be sure that you're serving the Lord. You're not serving just your emotions. Praise God. You know, when I wanted to start Platform of Grace, I asked myself many, many times, why do you really want to start this? Are there only enough churches that you can be part of? I was asking myself. I didn't get the point. I have to answer that question if I did anything. Why do you really want to do this? Are there not enough churches? Are you getting me? You must be sure you're not serving. Because let me tell you, God's reward system, He will only reward what He asks you to do. He will only reward what He asks you to do. I get to the point. If all God wanted me to do all my life is to be an usher, I will. He should not just send me to the choir. Praise God. You know, when I got in first year in school, because it has always been me. Now, I had already prayed about the fellowship I was going to join. And that nobody invited me. You know, when you get into first year, everybody struggling is trying to tear into seats to join the fellowship. So I already made up my mind. So on that day, I asked for where they were. Basically, that particular fellowship not even come to invite me. So I walked into the fellowship that morning. I came so early that they've not set the hall when I arrived. But I didn't know the time of the fellowship. So I had to go. Time was actually, was it 9 then? But I had to go. I thought it was maybe 7. So I went so early. Praise God. So I was there. They came. From the first day, I was carrying speaker. That was my first time in fellowship. Carry the speaker. We have to set the hall. Some persons thought I have been there before. So it was that when they say, first time I stand up. Ah, I stood up. So they were like, you're just going for the first time? So after the fellowship, everybody came to drag. Departments, even drama came to. Drama was dragging me. And the chorister said, you look like you have an eye voice. I said, sister, I did not see well. She said, no, everybody can sing. I said, see, just leave me. Let me just be. Just leave me alone. You know, it was later when I joined the fellowship that she told me, thank God you didn't join the choir. I said, thank God too. I didn't join. Praise God. But then, that was from the first day. From the very first day. And that's why I threw in that kind of commitment such that in less than 1 month as a member of that fellowship, the election was coming up. And I was made a leader. Honestly, I was made a prayer secretary for my first year. And because I was always there. Whatever God wants done, I get to the point. He wants you to clean up the seats. You do anything He wants you to do. I was always there, and He continued like that. Said that. That's why, you know, when I became a pastor, there is virtually nothing in church I don't have an idea of. You get the point? If we come now, nobody's here to set these things. I know because I've walked everywhere. I've played drums in my life. You don't believe it, you better do. Praise God. How did I start playing drums? We were in a church then. You know this kind of churches where the instrumentalists come in before offering. You know that kind of church? The instrumentalists, they come in before offering. They leave before service closes. That was the kind of stuff I'm talking about. So sometimes, it's time for offering. They've not come. But they're clapping. I come, I come. In the course of the clapping, they will now walk in. Big voice. And I can start playing. So that's it. I was angry. This has been paining me. If you're like that, you better stop it. I get the point. You better stop it. I noticed that day it was paining me. So that day, as usual, they started the Akamara Martin. And I stood up and went to the drums. Don't ask me what I played. But I shall went and sat down and started beating something. And that's how I started. Praise God. I don't know if you've seen me play drums here. Not here in church. I forget this place. I forgot. Then, just one or two places about. Oh, God. But I played it for some time. And also I was staying in church. You know, as I then, I was the children teacher in church. Amen. So I come out by 7. We go to the priest's house because then the generator used to be in his house. We go there, get the generator, put in church by 7, come back, have my bath, go teach the children. After the children class, the second service will start because it was a student chapel, partly a student chapel then, and then a church too. So the student's church will start from 7 to 9, from 9 o'clock. The main service, I go, after teaching children, the children class, we go join the main service, count the offering, tidy up what, carry the gen back. It was a normal routine because you must be ready. I get the point. I didn't know I was ever going to be anything, pastor or anything. Your hands must be ready to do what God wants you to do. That's how I want to send you back from this meeting. With a consciousness and a readiness to dirty your hands with ministry. To do whatever God wants you to do. To yield your hands to the service of the Lord. It amazes me that people feel they've gotten small money and are no longer committed to church. Now there's a certain vice chancellor who serves the Lord. He's a believer. The wife a believer too. It was reported that throughout the 8 years of that man as vice chancellor, the wife never missed coming to clean the church on Saturday. Never. I don't get the point. Never. But then, you got some money. Or you come here, you feel, you see, the ministers are young. All these small guests. I beg, you just walk in. No, don't be like that. You must be ready to serve the Lord. I get the point. It's whatever God wants you to do. Whatever God wants you to do. And I tell you, if He wants you to do it all your life, do it like that. I tell you guys, in the kingdom of God, service is not a way to greatness. Service in itself is greatness. It is a great thing to serve Jesus. I get that point. Great thing to serve Him. We don't serve our way to the top. This is not politics. I get that point. It's not politics. So you're not doing it because you want one day for God to just look at you and say, you'll be pastor one day. No. It was never in my mind. I was just doing whatever I had to do. From there, you know, at the time they closed that student chapel. So they closed the adult section of that student chapel and they moved us over to another branch of the church. And we went. That one was even more. Because then the priest then knew me. And then I was given preaching platforms sometimes, maybe on Wednesdays, to preach and all that. And doing all those things, setting the seat, doing whatever. That's why we're pasting posters. We hosted meetings. And it was everything. The important thing is, where God wants me to be is the important thing. What He wants me to do is the important thing. I don't get the point. Until now, I'm still like that. Recently, my spiritual father was talking about last year, if not for this COVID thing. I was coming down to, he wanted to come down to the east to put up a meeting. And I was trying to convince him to come to Enugu and come and do the meeting. That Enugu is the headquarter of the east. You understand? So I was trying to convince him. And so if he had already planned, if he had said, if that meeting had held, it might still hold. You will see me. I'll usher anything. And I'm not even anything. You get the point? Some people are so anointed they cannot wash toilet in church. Man of God. Congrats. You know, in this ministry, you see our pastors, you should know, it has always been my thing to train people to walk. If I plan the meeting, if I plan Zoe, we say, everybody gather, let's come and set up Zoe, whatever. You will not come. If you come there, you see the pastors, everybody, some of them are pinning, whatever. You see, because service is ministry. Ministry is service. I don't get the point. Whatever God wants you to do at any time, cleaning the seat does not take away anointing, does it? I get the point. He said, Philip, God, make me like Philip. He disappeared. What was Philip? Someone that was given to share food. So if you had entered that church those days, you see Philip carrying cooler. Carving coon. Well. That's what you see Philip doing. Say, that's for you. They just put label. Have you written them on that one? You know the issue that there was quarrel. Some Jews, some guys were saying they were not feeding well. So you see Philip saying, you have eaten before. Move. You will not see him doing this spiritual thing. You get the point? Praise God. That is reminding you of weddings that you attended. You know, Nigerian weddings is one wedding. Everybody will never agree they've eaten. And then, you know, when my brother had his wedding, some people kept saying, I did not eat. You know the problem? When we got the video, we saw these people. There was one particular woman I kept complaining with. She ate rice. She ate swallow. And she came out and was going and said, food did not even reach me. I said, child. Praise God. And, you know, he must be ready to do whatever God wants you to do. So that was what Philip was doing in church. Philip was sharing food. As anointed as that man was, Stephen, same thing. As anointed as he was. Whatever God wants me to do, I'm going to do it. My hands are yielded for him. Amen. Now let me say this to you. Everything that we have, everything. Look at 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7. Everything that we have, we receive from Jesus. And they must all be employed for his service. He says, for who maketh thee differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? What do you have that did not receive? Put up Amplified. Put up Amplified. What do you have that did not receive? So everything I have, I receive from Jesus. And this verse, I take it very literally. Everything I have, even the fact that I can talk, I receive from Jesus. So what am I going to do? I will employ that to serve the Lord. Praise God. Say, but who separates from the others as a faction leader? Who separates from the others as a faction leader that's amplified? Who makes you superior and sets you apart from another, giving you the preeminence? What have you that was not given to you? I don't get the point. I tell people, church is one place that when you are coming in, as you get to the door or at the gate, you drop your title, drop anything you are there, and come in. We are all children of God in church. No matter who you are. I don't get the point. No matter who you are. I told the guys of Reverend Dr. Mokwai that said he went for a meeting, and then people were, he had ushers protocoling him, you know, carrying his Bible, doing this, doing that, for all throughout the meeting. And towards the end of the meeting, of course, he got along with them and started talking with them. And they said, ah, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm an army general. These were the guys carrying his Bible, protocoling him. You will never see it, you never know it. I don't get the point. In the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you come in, everything you have, or whatever you've achieved in this life, he was given to you. I get the point. You receive it from the Lord. So they must never stop you from serving him, and they must all be employed for the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. I said again, whatever you have must never stop you from serving the Lord. Secondly, it must be employed for the service and for the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, I'm coming to that. If you have a lot of money, money must never stop you from serving the Lord. Secondly, that money must be employed in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? You become a singer, become very popular and big. You should know you receive that as a gift from God. It must never stop from serving the Lord. Some people become so big as music ministers that they no longer find it. So all they're just looking for where to go and sing. Praise God. Where to go and sing. Where to go and sing. And sometimes you find out, sometimes the motivation now becomes money. Because when you come and sing on your church stage, nobody's giving you anything. I don't get the point. But when they invite you to come and sing, they just pay you $1 million or pay you $3 million. And before you know, you now begin to mix up these things. Always know that whatever you do for the Lord is to serve him. And it is how he wants you to serve him that you must serve him. I get the point. Your hands must always be yielded to do anything God wants you to do. To do anything that God wants you to do. I get the point. It was in a revelation some time ago. God was showing me something. And I got into a church. I saw a church, a man of God, a popular one I know in this country. But all of everybody knows him. And that revelation, I was just standing by his side. And then the meeting ended. It was a big meeting we went for. And I saw the guy, the man, pushing wheelbarrow, carrying whatever, because they were putting the place together. And I rushed to him. I said, sir, I can't be here doing this thing. So he laughed. He said, go find something else to do. I said, no, sir, I'm here. You can't push wheelbarrow in my presence. And I said, well, does it change anything? And that revelation changed a lot of things about me. You get the point? Whatever God wants you to do, you do it. While I understand that there is order in the church, okay? Some people are meant to clean the church. There are people in that office, amen? There should be order in the church. But you see, it doesn't mean that If that is what should be done now, that you won't see me doing it. Because the important thing is that your hands are ready to do whatever God wants you to do. Say, my hands are yielded hands. Hallelujah. Now, I'll talk about three things and I'll begin to pray. There are three things I would like you to yield to the Lord in this year. Number one is your time. One thing I want you to do this year is to decide to yield and devote your time to the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. This speaks of availability. You must always be available. Always. Always. Amazingly, in church today, we just meet on Sunday, on Thursday, sometimes on Saturday. But then in the early church, they met every day. I would say daily. That's Acts 2 verse 42. Daily. They went from house to house. They met every day. Meeting was an everyday thing for them. Hallelujah. He says, and they steadfastly persevered, devoting themselves constantly to the instruction and fellowship of the apostles, to the breaking of bread. Put up King James. Okay? This was a daily thing. They didn't choose when they met. But they continued steadfastly. Steadfastly. It was an everyday thing. They were always available. Available to serve the Lord. Ready to serve Him. One of the things I keep telling people, you want to be effective in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, always be available. Don't miss services. Don't miss evangelism. Don't miss prayer meeting. I say this in church. You want this church to benefit you. Tell you what. Don't select the meetings you attend. And don't select, you get the point, don't select meetings. You know, I was teaching you guys, there are about 7 records of meetings you run in the church. Remember? There are teaching meetings. There are prayer meetings. There are Holy Ghost meetings, remember? Yeah, there are outreaches, evangelism, evangelical events. Praise God. There is Love Feast. What else? There is the cell, the fellowship, and all that. Different kind of meetings we can run into. There are healing meetings. Never miss any of them. Some persons are eager to be in church when pastor is about to teach. When they say, we're praying for 3 hours, they say, it's not me they will catch. And some other people are so eager for prayer. I say, this pastor, you just be teaching. So they say, let's start praying. Life's not about talk, it's about power. Oh, God, so shut up. You don't need anything. Praise God. You must be available. Then the worst is, some persons can be available for every other thing. But you see that thing called evangelism. So come out and be walking up and down, talking to people. Ah, no. And sometimes you now find out it is pride. You claim Jehovah's Witness people don't have the right doctrine. Yet they are on the streets every day. Is that not something to learn from such people? I get what I'm talking about. An amazing thing about that ministry or church or gathering. Amazing thing about them is, no matter who you are. Do you get the point? Even if you're a professor. Have some of them approached you? Some of them very learned professors approach you. No matter who you are, you park your car, carry that bag, an umbrella, and move. No matter who you are. I said lots to learn. But then you just want to be in teaching meetings, or in prayer meetings, or in singing. Some people, their own is worship. There's something about worship. You are just lazy. Because when you worship, you're not really doing anything. And the thing about worship is entertaining you too. So you love entertainment. That's just smiling. I said, put on your dancing shoes. That one is funny. I have different kinds of shoes. I'm not spoiling ministry for you people, okay? I'm just preaching. Praise God. Now, people just want to be where they want to be. You must this year devote your time. The first thing is your time. Yield your time. You cannot be a minister of our Lord Jesus Christ if you're not ready to give your time, all your time, to the minister of our Lord Jesus Christ. The way I see it is this. My time is God's time. God gave me the time. It's a privilege to be alive. Amen. So I'm going to use my time for Him. No matter how busy you think you are, there should always be time. You know one thing about time? Time is never available until you create it. Did you get the point? It is never available until you create it. You have to deliberately make out time to serve the Lord. Deliberately make out time. Oh, Thursday service, be there. I like some people in this church. You find people come from their workplace to church on Thursdays. That's how to do it. That's how to do it. From your workplace, you're rushing to church. You are rushing to that is so important. Church. Some of us from classics were rushing to church. That's how to do it. Your time. Oh, Saturdays, coming to set up things and to pray, and you are there. Oh, Friday, or whenever your cell meeting is, you are there. Instead of doing evangelism, you are there. You don't have evangelism every week in the church, right? First of all, it's at Fayonugu Center, for instance, is at cell level. Your cell, everybody belongs to a cell. If you don't, I understand this year our cells have not met. From after next week, our cells will start meeting. And everybody will put in a cell. Praise God. If you belong to a cell, every cell has evangelism day every week. And then once in a month, we have general church evangelism. Be available for all of them. Let your time be used to serve the Lord. Give your time to Him. Give your time to Him. And the thing is, God never wastes people's time. It's people's time. He doesn't. I tell you what. He doesn't waste people's time. Give your time to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're still here, say amen. So first of all, I say time. Your time must be employed for the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the reasons why when we come to church here, I'm not in a hurry. I don't believe in microwave services. I kept saying this, right? I don't believe in people just stepping into church and then under 30 minutes, say, I've got our service today, powerful. No, it wasn't powerful. It was fast. Praise God. I can preach short, you know, right? I can preach long. And I can preach longer than you want to listen. I have the whole abilities. And why I like using the last one on Sunday to talk for long is because you must get used to, you must be comfortable and be at home with spending time in church. The amazing thing is that some cannot spend time in church. So I want a fast service. At the end of that service, they get home. Some of the guys, they get to a beer parlor, sit down there from 4 till, did you say 6? Sometimes 10, 11, doing nothing. What are they doing? Nothing. Wasting money, one. Discussing, arguing, fighting. But then, 2 hours in church, Jesus, people can stay long. I tell you what, if somebody is saying that to you, don't feel bad. That's the norm. What do you think produced strong believers in the early church? You think they were just visiting church like you do? The kind of believers we have now who stay 30 minutes in church, if they start to die for Jesus, will they die? What if they say 30 minutes? I just want to rush in church and rush out. And then I'll carry cross and keep. Say, we're going to crucify you. If you say you're a Christian, and say me, I'm not a Christian. I've never claimed to be a Christian. I'm a sinner. Saved by grace. Praise God. You know, I said this last week, and I want to say it again. Observe that when people think, the academic sector, when they think any course is so important, they make you stay longer in school for it. Have you observed that? Yeah. That's why they make medical students stay all their life in school. Praise God. There are some people since I know them, they've been studying medicine. Until now, they're studying it. Since I'm telling some of them, I've met them years back. Since I knew them, I've always known I'm a medical student. Say now, when will you graduate? Praise God. Very soon. Angel. Very soon. Glory to God. Since I know you've been studying medicine. And the reason is because they think that medicine is a very important subject. And it is. Because it deals with human lives. So they cannot take you to school and keep you for 2 years as a medical doctor. So whatever people think is important, they give more time to it. I get the point. Don't you think the Lord is important? Ministry is an important venture. So we give time to the ministry. Amen. Be around. Study your Bible. Pray. Read your Bible. Go to church. Go to evangelism. Reach out. Give time to the Lord. Praise God. You say, I don't have time again. I tell you what to do. Whenever your schedule changes, maybe you got a new job or something happened and your schedule, you must find a way to sit down and reschedule again to find place for God and for Jesus. Thank you, Father. There are a couple of persons here, and I'm getting it by the Spirit, that you used to serve the Lord effectively some time ago, but then your schedule and something's changed and you became a bit more busy. So it's not like you really don't want to serve the Lord, but then you are actually so busy right now that you cannot make time. Listen to what to do. Sit down. Sit down and know what to remove from your schedule. Because God doesn't come last. He comes first. You get the point? You don't put God when your schedule is full and say, where do we fix? No. He comes first. Sit down. Know what to remove. Know what to get in. I just told you guys of how I stopped. Said I was going to play football again. God. I was going to play. Because I need to remove some things. Plan. What you might need to remove might be to reduce your sleeping hours. Yes. Might be to reduce your sleeping hours. Might be to step up some things. Glory to God. Must be given to the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing, you yield your time. Secondly, yield your talents and your skills. I said this on Thursday. Yield your talents, yield your skills. You know, everybody has a talent, whether you know it or not. Some people, their own is so visible. Some others, their own is not that visible. For instance, if you're a singer, your own is so visible. Okay, people can see it. If you can act, so visible. But everybody has something. Now, whether you found it or not, it's okay. All I'm saying is, whatever you can do must be used to serve the Lord. Do you get the point? We'll read that scripture I read last week. I'm coming to that. I read on Thursday. Whatever you can do must be used to serve the Lord. Some persons, they don't have any talent, like physically talent, they know. But then, you find out, I was saying this on Thursday, that there are some people that some things come easy to them. For instance, I was talking about coding. There are some people that if they start learning how to code from now to next year, they will not learn it. Like for me now, you tell me I should start pressing 00 greater than equal to minus. I don't understand what you do with that. I don't even have the is it brain? So calm down and start reasoning it. Now, it's not just me. You get the point? But some people, if they just look at that thing, you know, I was talking to a young guy, one guy, SS2 guy then. He told me, you know, I've set up a system, I've designed an app. I've drawn this whole thing in my book, and the interface, this, I've started working on it. I said, who taught you? He said, he just is where they do it. I don't really know it. You still can learn it. But just is where they do it. He just knows they can do this thing. There are some of you that you just see where they're playing keyboard. You watch what the person doing. You start doing the same thing. Now, these are things that come easy with people. I get the point. Whatever it is, must be used to serve the Lord. I get the point. Your talents, your skills. Exodus chapter 31. I'll show you this. I read this on Thursday. We look at that today. Exodus chapter 31 from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, okay, let's be fast. See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. Okay? And I have filled him. No, we looked at this on Thursday. I have filled him with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Now, in wisdom and in understanding, and in knowledge and no man of workmanship. Now, when you read this, you would have thought that what the guy is saying is, I filled him with the Spirit of God. So the guy is about to do ministry. No. God filled him with the Spirit to be able to use his skill. Look at this. Next verse. To devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and brass. So this is a guy that works with these things normally. God said, I'll put my Spirit upon him to be able to now do it. Because I'm about to build in church. God make the tabernacle. Go to verse 5. And in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. So the guy was good with gold, good with silver, good with metals, good with timber. You know, that's wood. The guy was good with carving stuffs. And the Lord said, I've put my Spirit upon him. Now, I said something on Thursday. Whatever you can do, you are doing on your own. When you are doing it, any skill you are using, it can be a profession. But once you begin to use it to serve the Lord, it becomes a ministry. It becomes a ministry. It begins to count as ministry. Not like five-fold ministry. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it becomes a ministry unto the Lord. For instance, I use keyboard for instance. Anybody can play keyboard. You don't have to be born again to know how to play keyboard, right? But when you, once you begin to play it, it becomes a thing you do to serve God. I don't get the point. Anybody can make... This guy normally was making this brass, making the gold. When it was time to use it for the Lord said, I've put my spirit upon him. So there is such a thing as God anointing your skill to become useful in church. You understand what I say? Yeah. Anybody can play drums. But there's such a thing as using that drumming to serve the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. So whatever thing you do, your skill, your talents must be employed. They must be yielded to him. You say, why? What do we have that we have not received? Praise God. The other thing is that in church, once church is growing, there must come a time when something you do will be needed. No matter what you do. Even your handwork at the time will be needed. I will say, I want to build a house. I find out you can mix cement. And you're laughing now. But the Bible says Paul was a tent maker. What does that mean to you? He was a builder. He said, no, he was an engineer. Well, that's right. He was a builder. But then, if I was sure, if there was need, say, I want to build a church, would make tents for church. Paul would have said, oh, I can do this. I'll just do it. At that point, he's not doing it. He's doing it for the Lord. I don't get the point. For the Lord. For the Lord. Oh, you are a good driver. And there's a meeting coming up. And I say, I want to just someone that will carry the minister around. He said, my car is available. And I'll be ready to drive it throughout. I don't get the point. That's, you are, at that time, you're not just driving. You are serving God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You're not just driving, you're serving the Lord. There must be something that you can do. There must, a time will come when your skill, your talent will be needed. I was saying this on Thursday. We've never had to pay for designs in this church. Graphic designs. We don't. We've never had to pay to make a website in this church. We have two running. I don't get the point. Because some businesses are employing their services to serve God. And these are things that they have sort of used as business and do whatever. But you must be ready to give it for the service and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ this year. As you return back to your centers, your skill must count. Amen. Your talents should count. Whatever you can do for the Lord, you should be ready to do it. You should be ready to do it. To serve God. To serve God. Serve God. It should not be right that there are guys and ladies in the church, and because your own achebo is too much, you are there and ladies are lifting things, carrying instruments. You shouldn't be there doing that. What are you? Are you a woman? What's your muscle for? Praise God. These are the things you should know, because at that time, your strength is needed to serve the Lord. Amen. Your strength is needed. Your muscle, that you used to gym, we need it now. Hallelujah. You know, people usher in meetings. Some of you are professional ushers, right? One or two persons here, you know. They go, they invite them to events, they usher, they pay them. But then when you come to church, now the church needs an usher. You should be able to employ that service to serve the Lord. I don't get the point. Your skill, your talent this year must be yielded for the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Once you begin to do it, it becomes ministry. And let me say what I said on Thursday. I just have a leading again to say that. You see, God's reward system, wasn't it on Thursday? I said it 2 days ago. It's very interesting. God's reward system is interesting. Praise God. Today I'm preaching. Are you enjoying the message? You shouldn't. You mustn't. You are here. You should just be hearing it. But you see, this service, I said this last year. You see, it's by the sacrifice of many people. How many of you know this? Some set these seats. Somebody cleaned this hall. I get what I'm saying. Somebody put on the gen. Somebody is making sure this thing is working. Someone is standing on the camera. Someone is snapping. This is that at the end of the day, everybody knows I personally preached. But there are people that walk behind the scene to get stuff done. And you think God is going to say, well, I don't care about them. I care about the preacher. No. I don't get the point. Someone will get to the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to reward you for all the things you are doing for him. Although, the reward is not the motivation. The motivation is Jesus. But then there will be such a reward. Amen.
The choir sang at least to keep you till I arrived.
Until I'm preaching now. Amen.
Someone led the opening prayer. Someone came to clean this place. Someone clean that seat you are on. But sometimes when you get into a place, ask yourself, how is this place working? Just come in, go out, come in, go out. All they know is that I just come in and go in.
Amen. I have books there. I have prayer force. I have the God you never knew. All people know is that Pastor Henry wrote a book. Someone typed those things. Okay, I did the typing myself this time, okay? But then someone proofread the work. Amen? Someone proofread the work. Someone did the cover design. And when that book is blessing men, they have a part in it. Whatever the word coming from it. I didn't get the point. Have a part in it. Start thinking of how you can employ your service. So when I say you must serve the Lord, I'm not saying all of us must handle my. When the Lord calls you to stand in front of the ministry, that's beautiful. It's okay. But then, at this capacity, at whatever capacity, your skill will count this year. Amen? Your talent will count this year. Things you can do, they should count this year. They should be visible in the church. Employ your talent. Employ your time. Your skill, your energy to serve the Lord. He says, sir, this message is very important. It is the most important thing you've heard this year. Because serving the Lord is our life. Remember? Walking in the plan of God. Amen? Serving the Lord is our life. That's what we do. Praise God. Let me ask your neighbor, what can you do? Ask the person again. Ask the person again. Now, tell the person, do you know that this is not a rhetorical question? I want an answer. So what can you do? Answer the person. Tell the person. Don't say, I can eat. Me, there's something with me and sleeping. So, sir, how can sleeping be used to serve the Lord? Praise God. There's something you can do. Ready to serve God. You know, we wanted to make this, to put this stage here. We had made all the plans and gone to get a carpenter and all that. I came and finished doing the estimate and mentioned one ridiculous amount. Now, it wasn't ridiculous because it was too much. It was too much as at them. We didn't have the money. Praise God. And then someone said, to make stage again. That kind of money. How about leave that? Praise God. And then this thing was not made in China or in Abba. It was made here. Inside it all. Praise God. And I love such things. Praise God. Say, I want to make stage again. Just like when I think the guy, how much was that? Is that 70 something, 80 something thousand to construct it? Well, it was not much, but we're not ready to spend that kind of money for it. Somebody said, to next staging. So I'm coming to do it. Let's just buy wood. Praise God. It's not to gather wood and hit stage. And you know why some people will charge like that? It's church. And church has money. You know, right? That's what people believe. Once you just tell them it's church, they say, they've doubled the price. But they told me one day, church, they give money. I say, yes, we'll come and pastor small. 6 months, I did not escape then. The Lord called you. If the ministry used to bring money, don't worry. Just come and do. And sometimes, you know, they look at you, they feel this church are going to, you're getting something from that church. Tell them to join. Praise God. Tell them to join. And so I was happy. People said, well, I can do this. We did it. We rocked it. We did everything ourselves. I wanted to paint this place too. It was still so much. So you find out that you must know that everything you have can be employed to serve the Lord. Whenever the opportunity arises, you do it. You do it. Praise God. Whatever capacity you can, you do it. Praise God. And so this guy, go back to verse 4. Put up New Living Translation. Wow. Okay. He's a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. Then verse 5.
He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He's a master at every craft.
So this guy had a skill, right? But then look at verse 3. Look at verse 3.
I have filled him with the Spirit of God and given him grace and ability and expertise in all kinds of craft. So this guy's learned this. God said, I've filled him with the Spirit of God. So there's such a thing as God's Spirit coming upon you and you doing what you normally do outside, but now you're using it to serve the Lord and it comes out differently.
Praise God. So this year, my skill, my talent, it's yielded to serve the Lord. I will do whatever I can do. Hallelujah. So thirdly and the last thing, your money must be yielded this year. Praise God. Now that I'm going to close. Your money must go into ministry. The Bible tells us that where a man's heart is, there his treasure is. When people say things like, well, I love the Lord, I'm giving to ministry. And yet, the one that doesn't get into the ministry, you find out they don't really love the Lord. Your money, your finance must be yielded to serve the Lord. Now, that's something I'd like you to know. That's the way you should treat money this year. Amen? You must treat your money like it should be treated. How should it be treated? Like it's not your money. It's God's money. Let me show you a scripture. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 12. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 12. I'd like you to look up this. Some of you have not seen this scripture before. Or you've not taken note of it before. So just look at it. He said, wealth and, okay, both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all. How many of you know that riches come from God? Amen. Wealth is from God. Praise God. When we say, well, wealth is from hustling. Well, I don't think so. Wealth is from God. Hallelujah. Money can come from hustling. Wealth is from God. Do you get the point? Nobody becomes rich without employing spiritual forces. Ask anybody you want to ask. Praise God. Some of these men, you know, hands used to touch their head once in a while. Some of these big churches, you know, and some of these big politicians, you know, that don't care about God and care about church. Some of them, every month, they secretly carry big tithes to the pastor and say, sir, just touch my head. And the guy will pray and they come out. And I'll tell you what happens in real life. As long as they will not go to pastor, they know where they go to. They make heavy sacrifices. Wealth is from God, amen? So hustle. But you know, if it takes hard work to be rich, Baruch pushes to be the richest man on earth. Praise God. Nobody works harder than them. And I pity them. The problem is that after they carry those things, you still be arguing to give them 20 naira. I'm talking to you. The last Baruch guy that helped you, how much did you give him? 50 naira. Just look at how you are. Well, what do you say? Both riches and honor come from thee. Thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and give strength unto all. It is God that makes men great. Amen. Now, verse 13, let's continue. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee. That's when they finish getting money to build the temple and all that. We thank thee. Therefore, okay, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people? That we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort. For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Put up NLT of this verse. Put up NLT. Put up NLT. Let's read from the screen. Are you ready? Can you see the screen? 1, 2, 3, go. But who am I, and who are my people, that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. That's the mindset you handle money with. That money, first of all, God was the one that gave me. So if he gave me, he should be able to serve for his service. He should be able to be used for his service. Look at this. Look at next verse. Next verse. We are here for only a moment. Visitors and strangers in the land, as our ancestors were before. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow. Gone as soon as without a trace, okay? Verse 16. Oh Lord our God, even this material we have gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. So when we talk about money, you must first of all see money as it is God that gave me the money. It's God's money.
When you begin to think like this, giving is not hard. When somebody gave you something, he's saying, please give me a part of it. Let me use it for this. You should be able to do it. And he did not just give you. He gives you, has capacity to give you more. Are you getting the point? Giving. Your money must serve for the ministry. Because first of all, it is God's money. Amen? It belongs to God. Yes, I made my money by myself. No, it is God's money. Amen. It's God's money. It's God's money. Say it. Say my money. It's God's money. My money is God's money. Some people, their mouth is heavy. Because I'm talking about money. Praise God. If I tell you to say my strength belongs to God, you say, I can say it's my strength. No, it's not my strength. Don't touch my money. Praise God. Let me say this to you. Ministry will need money. And you must be ready to give it. The reason I used to pray for you guys for financial prosperity, and I will still pray it again this morning. Do you know why? Because I know ministry needs money. And that money will not fall from the sky. I said this because I tell you what, this year we have a big project at hand, amen? You know, right? As a church, we are getting our first property this year. You should be excited about that. Our first landed property this year. Now, why should you be excited about that? I'll tell you why. Whenever God begins to say big things to your church, it means he's saying big things to you too. When God says, this year, this project is going to cost 10 million, this church will do it this year. Now, you've looked at the church, you know, where would they get the money from? Begin to trust the Lord, because that money will come from people. So, whenever I hear things like, God, we are doing a project this year of 100 million, I just know God is about to set some people up to give the money. So what do? You rejoice and you key into it. Praise God. Do you know it's a privilege? Look, go back to that verse 14. He said, who are we to even give you anything? So you must count giving a privilege. To give to God is a privilege. Let's face reality. Let's talk like this guy. Who are you to give God something? Who are you like to give the essence of days, like the one that created everything? You should be excited. There are people that when you give them a gift and they collect it, you are happy. Imagine you going to who will I use now? Huh? A big, wealthy, rich man. And then you take your 5,000 to him. I say, sir, I just want to use this to appreciate you. You know, and he says, wow. 5,000? Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. You'll be happy, right? That he collected money from you. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. He collected your money. And you'll be saying, thank you, sir. Thank you for collecting the money. That's how we give to God. He said, wealth comes from him. So even in verse 16, he now said, even the things we gave you to build this temple, came from you. Look at it. Oh Lord our God, even this material we have gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. So we give because he first gave us. I didn't get the point. So your money must be employed to serve the Lord. Money, wealth is useless if it doesn't serve God. I tell you what, money is useless if your wealth is useless if it cannot be used to promote and advance the kingdom. It's useless. I tell you what, it's useless. If your money cannot count in the kingdom, then it's useless. Say, this year, I will give. My money must be given to the ministry. And let me say this to you. I said this when I was teaching on the truth about giving and receiving. The reason most people don't give is because they really don't trust God. I'll show you something. In 1 Timothy 6 verse 17, he says, charge them that are rich in this world. I'll show you this. That they do good. Oh, sorry. That that's 1 Timothy 6 verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they trust not in uncertain riches. Yeah. But in the living God, who giveth us what? Richly all things to enjoy. So what's the advice in that verse? What's the instruction in the verse? Huh? Don't trust
Talk to me. Don't trust in your money, right? Right? How will you not trust in your money? Look at the next verse. But they should be willing to communicate, ready to distribute. So it is when you are willing to let go of what you have in your hand, it's a proof that you do not trust in that money. I said this last Sunday, remember? Go back to the previous verse. Start with New Living Translation. Glory to God. Teach those people who are rich in this world. That's me, right? So teach me. So I'm teaching you. You are the rich, man. You know you are the rich. No, you are not the poor waiting to get rich. You're already rich. Your money is coming. And I'm not encouraging you. It's close. I'm getting it. It's very close. You're not going to see yourself like that. Don't see yourself like, I'm just a broke man trying to make ends meet. Don't make ends meet. Stop making ends meet. Teach people who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money. Now, which is so unreliable. Money is that unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Now, verse 18 now says, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works. So a proof that you trust God and you don't trust money is that you're using that money, you're giving it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's a proof that I trust God. He said, I trust God for my finances. I tell you how to show it. Give it. Let me give you a simple analogy. You have 10,000 naira in your pocket. They say they want to do a project in church. The project is 7. We need 8,000. Heart is telling you to give it. And you calculate in your head, if I give this money now, when am I going to get the next one? You're already showing that you really don't trust that God will give it to you. The reason why you make a partnership commitment of 10,000 naira per month, and then the month is starting, you have 15k in your account, but you cannot give that 10,000 because you are waiting. Let me get more. And now give the 10,000. Because somehow you are scared that if you release this 10,000, how am I sure? Okay, what if I don't get another one? Actually, you don't trust God already. And I was telling the pastors yesterday, and some of our ministers know, if we are doing something in church, maybe this is a good church, okay? That is the national body of Platform of Grace. Maybe the national body wants us to send some money. Wants us to send some money. I might tell our ministers, the first, any money in the account, send it. Okay? What we will not do is to say, well, since we have the money, well, let's wait to get more, then we'll send for them. Once we begin to talk like that, you're already showing that you do not believe that another one will come in. He said, I believe. How? If you believe, then send it. I know what I'm talking about. You believe that money will come, send it. That's why I tell you, anything, just send it. I remember, you know what we're planning? Miracle Waves. That day we went to the account. I told you guys, when you want to withdraw it, let me so now I'll keep my phone. I don't want to get the alert. We had some bills to pay. We had money to send to the national house. We had a lot of things. And I told them, just go to the account, clear everything. Everything. They went and what was left was 1,000 naira left in the account. I said, clear everything. So they cleared it. I just made sure I didn't get the alert. You know, that's an alert you get. Maybe you have 1 million in your account. 1 million, 1,000 naira. And you just get 1 million naira was debited from your account. Start rolling on the bed, running stomach. So I said, clear it. They did that. I think that was on Wednesday. By Thursday or Friday, someone already saw, not even a member of this church, saw about the crusade online. I said, I want to give to this. I sent him money that same week. But the next day, actually. But now we're clearing that. Think, how would the crusade hold and all that? I said, just clear everything first. Let's send. It's not God's work. I didn't get a point. You must trust God with your finances. One of the ways to show you do is by giving it. Are you following me at all? Giving, I say it again. Glory to God. Are you still here this morning? Are you still here this morning? Praise God. Giving is a major way we show that we trust God with our finances. Giving is a major way we show that we trust God with our finances. So I trust God. I trust God. That's why I told you, when you want to give, how do you give? You don't just bring your money and just throw it away like that. No. When you give, you say, Father, first of all, thank you for the privilege to give.
I told you giving is a privilege, right? It's a privilege. Thank you for the privilege to give. And Father, thank you for, because I know this money will be given, will be used for the kingdom. And then Father, I release my faith. I give in faith, knowing that I will never lack. Knowing that you are able to provide for me. Don't do this in your heart. Do it physically every day, as in verbally. Vocalize it every day. I know I will not lack. So as I'm giving this money, I know I will have much more. Now I'm not saying it's when you give that God will now, that the giving will do whatever to God. But you are releasing your faith in that direction. Amen. I'm giving because I know that I'm giving this 1 million naira because I trust that you are able and you will give me much more. You give me much more. You give that money. I learned this from Brother Hagin. Praise God. And then Brother Hagin, when he's done, he will now say, angels of God, go forth and bring the money to me. Praise God. You engage your faith. You show that you trust God. But listen, your money, use it to serve the Lord. First of all, it is his money. He now gave it to you. Praise God. And he's now saying, we need it now. And you use it. Amen. Two things I'll say about giving. One, give big. Decide that this year I'm going to give big. Decide that this year I'm going to exceed what I did last year. Make up your mind. Praise God. Praise God. Some of you that gave in tens of thousands last year, decide that this year you're going to give in hundreds of thousands. Don't just decide it. Make up your mind and plan towards it. Some of you gave in hundreds of thousands last year. This year, I'm going to start giving in millions. Praise God. Anyway, set yourself up for that kind of thing. God never leaves such men stranded. You never leave you stranded. I told you, giving is a proof of your spiritual growth, you know, right? You should get better. You will say, well, you should get better with prayer. You should get better with studying the word. You should get better with evangelism. You should get better with giving too. It shows you are growing. And I heard this from my spiritual father. He said, giving has a way of stripping money of its hold on you. You get the point? Sometimes when we are so attached to money, you know, Brother Hagin will always say, God is not against you having money. God is against money having you. And one of the ways to let go of the grip God, money has on you, sometimes is to give it. Sometimes, you know, there is nothing I have in my life now that is so important to me that if I lose it, I will die. There is nothing like that. If anything like that comes and I'm so scared, Jesus, have I lost this? I will give it out. I tell you, and once I give it out, I will have more of it because I've conquered it. Do you get the point? Well, I'm giving it, you give what you are bigger than. You don't get what I'm talking about. Yeah, if I'm giving, I'm saying I'm bigger than you. You give what you are bigger than. Decide to give. Give and give big. Hallelujah. Make up your mind just here. So I said, number one, give big. What is big? Well, the Bible tells us to give as God has prospered us. So big will be in different capacities. Praise God. Give will be in, there are some of you that giving 10,000 naira will be big. It's okay. The important thing is that you are sincere to yourself in the giving. Amen. Bible said, if there be first a willing heart, it's accepted. I get the point. For some of you, giving big might be stretching to 100,000, stretching to 300,000. That's what it may be. For some of you, giving big may be stretching to 1 million. Some of you, 10 million. Whatever. Give big. Praise God. I'm not ashamed to teach you about giving. And it's not because we need money, it's because that's what the Bible teaches. Praise God. Let that be first a willing heart. Then you give. So first of all, I said, give how? Big. Say this year, I will give big. And I will not go broke doing it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You won't. You see, if you know how to release your faith, you can never go broke giving. Giving is, when you say, I have faith that God will provide for me. One of the ways to prove it is that just release your money. Praise God. And I've done this. I don't want to touch any personal testimonies. I've done this a couple of times. A couple of times. And as I'm just so sure another one is coming. So what if there is a delay? Well, my faith is still strong. And it will come. So you give big this year. Secondly, I said I'll talk about two things. One, you give big. Secondly, you give consistently. Consistency is what will make you bear fruit. Make whatever you're doing bear fruit. Consistency. Consistency. If there is any reward that comes with giving, you will get the best of it when you do it consistently. And that's the truth. That's the truth. In fact, Let me say this as a general rule. Everything, the things of the Spirit, they bear fruit when you are consistent at them. The things of God only bear fruit when you are consistent with them. Talk of prayer. You cannot pray today and not pray again till next week and expect that the prayer will bear fruit. I get the point. If you want to see yourself a praying person, a fervent person, which prayer can make you to become? You must pray consistently. Talk of studying the word of God. You can't read the Bible today and leave it. You don't read tomorrow. You don't read next tomorrow. And then on Thursday, you read again. And before you know, you don't read again. 2 months later, you say, where's my Bible? No. It won't produce what it's supposed to produce in you. Same with evangelism. Same with tongues. I teach you to pray in tongues a lot, right? You can't be praying in tongues once in 2 years and it will produce results. It won't. Praise God. Same with evangelism. Same with giving. So you give consistently. That's why in this place we have a system of partnership. That partnership system affords you the privilege and opportunity to give every month. To give a stipulated percentage every month, which you are the one that will choose. You look at your income and decide, I'm going to just give 20% of my income this year, every month. Every month. I'm going to give 50,000 every month. You decide that. And you do it yearly, or monthly rather. Consistency will break it, produce it. If I let me put it another way, even for your giving to become useful in the church, it has to be given consistently. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you give once in 2 months, and then we don't see the money again till next 6 months, how do you think church has been running when you are not giving? I follow him at all. Not what I ask myself. Have you ever asked yourself, if everybody in this church is giving like me, would that still be a church? Ask your neighbor. It's a mischievous question. Say, neighbor, if everybody in this church is giving like you, will that still be a church? Find out from the person. Praise God. Just ask yourself. If everybody in the church is giving, if your offering is everybody's offering, will that still be a church by now? Let me say this to you. Step up giving in every way. Amen. Your offering too. No, there's nobody that said you must give 20 naira as offering. Stop it. Stop it. Let me tell this side. Nobody said you must give 20 naira as offering. What do? Stop it. Praise God. I told you guys, Bishop said, if I come to your church, if he comes to your church to preach, and the offering is less than 1 million naira, he said, ask the ushers. Because my own offering alone is 1 million. Sunday offering. Hallelujah. Some of you, your brain cannot conceive it. Who does that? Praise God. So offering time, blessing time, just sends 1 million naira. Wow. That kind of thing, he must have contracted. Maybe his account officers, at every Sunday morning, send 1 million to this account. At Sunday offering. I know the thing I'm saying. It's not because you don't have money. It does not even enter your brain. Now, even if you have 100 million, you can't understand it's not offering. And because of how we grew up, we're going to change it in this church, amen? You grew up by meeting your father to give you offering. He will give you. They gave you 10 naira. Well, actually, we are 21st century people. In my own time, 1 naira. Did they ever give you a coin? Some of you can remember saying, oh, Mwaka. Then it was coin, 50 kobo coin, 1 naira coin. If they didn't give you two, you give one and keep the other one for. Wow, you'd remember. That's how far you went. And then you've grown up to see that offering is the lowest denomination in your pocket. That's what they mean. So when it's time for offering, is it 500? Is it 1,000? Is it 200? Is it 100? Is it 50? Then you say there is no 50. You now give 100 and say, give me change. You know, those days, we'll write paper. Did you write paper? You write paper and you put. Sometimes you forget to even read it. And the reason I write paper is that you can at least put something. No one reason why we use envelopes for offering in this church is so that nobody can see how much you are giving. So if you want to give big, fine. If you want to deceive us, I just put in the envelope without putting anything inside. It's okay. You can decide that this year, I'll start offering, you start from there. My offering, 500 naira. My offering, 200 naira. My offering, 1,000 naira. My offering, 5,000 naira. I want us to make it easy for you. Use the account number. If you still want to give, make transfers. Just decide to step up your giving in whatever way. You are still there, say amen. I'll give big. I'll give consistently. So I give in at all times. And every time you give, even ordinary offering, let me use that word ordinary, make that confession I told you to make. You get the point? Every time you give, release your faith. Every time you give, release your faith. So imagine I said give big and I said give consistently. If you are consistently releasing your faith, you will not be in lack. Praise God. Give big, give consistently, release your faith. Hallelujah. What I'm saying this morning, yield your money. Yield your time and yield your talents and your skills to serve the Lord. Amen. Everything we have, we receive from Him. Amen. There is nothing we have that He did not give us. So everything we have will be used for His service. My time will count. Say this year, my time will count. My time will count in church this year. My talents will count. My money will count. I will serve the Lord with everything I have. I will serve the Lord with what He has given me. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet and just, let's stand to our feet. Stand to your feet wherever you are.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.